This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Drive underway in the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where we'll be tomorrow about this time in beautiful Farragut. Here right now with the Top 4 at 4, it's Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, highly touted transfer wide receiver Isaiah Nayor has decommitted from Tennessee and will continue his college career at Texas. Nayor visited Ole Miss before landing in Knoxville this week and registering for classes, as we assume. The announcement was made via Twitter just hours ago.
It hurts. It hurts, Bear. It hurts, man.
I'm right there with you, Russ. Right there with you, brother.
Do we roll the dice on this McCoy kid, or do we just hope that
– I don't know, man. That McCoy kid, I just – with everything that we've had going on, just speaking, going back to what we always talk about on the show, just the risk analysis of taking McCoy.
Are you confident in Jimmy Callaway or Jimmy Holiday or one of these freshmen stepping up and filling that outside role opposite Tillman?
I think if somebody was going to be able to do it, but I just don't know if he has the speed, would be Ramel Keaton.
Yeah, I forgot about him. I mean, that's a severe drop off if that's the – I'm pulling for the Callaway kid, man. He dropped that fourth down ball against Florida, but he had the huge touchdown against Pitt. I think he's a hell of an athlete. Obviously, they didn't trust him last year. I hope he – puts it together, and because that would be my preference at this point if we can't have Nayor.
Yeah, I think that I was a little disappointed that he never got another. It never seemed like he could get out from underneath dropping that pass the rest of the season. I guess that's when they moved Velus to slot, or that we basically started going with Javonte, Velus, and Tillman. Which they were our three best wide receivers, but yeah, I mean, he definitely could do it. That'd be another year in the system with Heupel, Golish, Cody Burns. So, you know, I mean, I expect him to get a lot better this year.
And moving on,
why I'm not that mad about it, I guess.
And moving on to number two, former Vol and NFL defensive lineman Robert Ayers has accepted the role of defensive coordinator at Oak Ridge High School. Ayers spent 10 years in the NFL and was the defensive line coach and defensive coordinator at Catholic from 2020 to 2021.
Yep. Coach Ayers, great guy. That's a big gift for your boy Scott Cummings, Russ. You going to pull for Oak Ridge a little bit now?
I mean, I've always enjoyed the Oak Ridge tradition. You got Blankenship Field, the players walking down the steps, Big Ed's across the street. Love the Wildcats.
They've got maybe the most underrated concession stand food in the area, and I am a connoisseur.
Can't stand Oak Ridge.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Oh.
It's the only school I never got a win against.
The Wildcats just had your number?
Yeah.
Wildcats over the Cougars, eh?
They do not make any apologies for winning or aiming their programs in that direction, historically speaking.
It's okay, Jack Miller. You're still a winner in my book.
And number three, the Tampa Bay Rays' proposed plan to split seasons in Tampa Bay and Montreal has been killed by major league officials. They spent 2.5 years on the project and were expecting approval to proceed with efforts to get open-air stadiums built in both markets. The Rays also sought approval from the players' union.
Good.
That would be weird.
As dumb as what that would be.
Play half your home games in Tampa Bay and then play half of them in Montreal.
Are we just running a Major League Baseball team now? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean, it would make sense, like, if the Grizzlies, for example, in the NBA, wanted to play some home games in Nashville at Bridgestone. That would make sense because that's not far of a commute, and you got fans in both markets.
Well, what are you going to call the team?
Then you'd be like, the Tennessee Grizzlies, but at this point, I don't even know what you'd call them.
Even I don't really like that example, but, yeah, I could see what you're saying. Yeah, play Memphis Grizzlies playing in Nashville, whatever. But you're Tampa and Montreal, and they're not talking about, like, we play a couple of games, like a one series a year or something in Montreal. They're talking about splitting the games.
I guess you'd be the Intercontinental Rays at that point.
I mean, I can't imagine being a fan in either market and wanting to see that actually happen.
Right.
Yeah, but I'll be surprised if it doesn't eventually happen. I just keep thinking the Rays are going to end up in Nashville permanently.
There's been a lot of talk about that, and I don't know if I'd become a fan.
Nashville needs to get into Major League Baseball, and that just makes total sense geographically, and it just competitively to have an American League East team in Nashville.
And some more baseball.
That would be unreal.
And some more baseball news in the college world. Crushing news out of Fayetteville as Razorbacks baseball projected Friday night starter and right-handed pitcher Peyton Pallett will miss the entire 2022 season with a UCL injury that will require Tommy John surgery. The Hogs were ranked number 2 in the preseason rankings on Monday.
Now, who's this big pitcher for Arkansas?
Oh, it's going to be the Rays.
I guess Kevin Copps is off to pro ball, huh?
He got drafted.
His coach.
Probably going to have surgery on his elbow. The way they utilized him during the World Series. That was ridiculous.
That's the way it used to be, Jake. These young guys, you don't know how it was. He's okay. He's not actually injured, is he? That's just something we gave them a hard time about.
Oh, yeah.
Be all right.
Just how selfish Dave Hanhorn is.
Thank you, Jake Miller. That is the top 4 at 4. It is brought to you by National RX. Looking forward to being back out there tomorrow for a live show, and would love to see you out there. Come on by. We'll be there from 3 until 6 p.m. And, gentlemen, if you're in need of a little boost in the bedroom, they still have that deal, 50 cents a tablet on Sildenafil. It is the active ingredient in Viagra. Guys, this stuff will cost you, if you're buying the name brand, which why would you do that? I mean, it's going to set you back mucho dinero. But at National RX, if you tell them you heard about it on the drive, 50 cents a tablet. We told you about the guy yesterday, cut his price in a third or by two-thirds. Whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say. He saved a lot of money. Okay, at National RX, it's an unheard-of price. Talk to your doctor today or switch your prescription over to National RX. You have to tell them you heard it on the drive to get the deal. So just say, hey, heard the guys talking about it on the drive, and they will hook you up. Also, I believe they still have some COVID tests. I know those are in short supply around. Should have more on that for you tomorrow. But if you're desperate, you could swing by there on Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. National RX, Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy, and we appreciate their long-term support of the show. And good to be working with them once again here on Fan Run Radio. Tony Vitello coming up here in just a few moments, set to join us. We will talk college baseball with him. And coming up, after our conversation with Coach V, and we'll unpack that a little bit for you, we might not get into this for another hour or so, but just a little preview, a little teaser here. Billy Stats had an interesting topic on Twitter. Billy Stats, who, known Barnes basher, he tries to act like he's not. He tries to act like he's so down the middle and objective, but he's a Barnes basher from way back in the day. You ain't fooling me, Billy Stats. You're a good guy, but you ain't fooling me.
No, he's the guy that shovels coal into the Barnes bashing train. He's up there he's not driving it, but he keeps it stoked.
rank the top five coaches in the league in basketball.
Bruce Pearl.
You want me to, or he did?
He's asking. I'm asking. We're asking. We're discussing. We're discussing.
Top five coaches in the league?
Yeah.
I would say, and this is in no particular order, Calipari, Barnes, Oates, Bruce, and Will Wade, probably.
See, I have to qualify this. If we're going body of work, like who's the best coach, like if they retired today, who did the best job, who had the best career, versus if I'm hiring a coach now and I'm hiring him at his current age to coach my program, to me, those are two completely different conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're going body of work, this is what I came up with. Cal, Howland, Barnes, Pearl, and then for the fifth spot, I don't know, maybe Frank Martin.
I'll tell you who. Frank Martin.
So that
he
that
only
was,
did it once, but he's got, been there. That's a yeah, he's got the final four, doesn't he?
Cal, Howland, Barnes, Pearl, Martin. And I put Barnes ahead of Pearl just because he's won more games. They've been to the same number of Final Fours. He doesn't have the baggage that Bruce has. I know that'll piss some people off, but I feel like he's had the better career. Now, if you're asking me who would I hire right now, who's the best coach right now, I would rank it this way. Pearl, Oates, Musselman, Cal, and then that fifth spot, Barnes or Wade, depending on how much integrity matters at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I wasn't even going to count integrity into it, but I would probably – I don't know that I would have Musselman in there above Barnes. I would have Barnes and Wade in there before Musselman.
Yeah, I mean –
that's just me personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that guy's – I think he's really good, man. I think he's really good. We've not heard the last from Arkansas this year. That's going to be – we got to play them twice, man. And we'll be lucky to win one of those games.
That's the other thing. I mean, the SEC is murderer's row this year. I mean, mission accomplished for – was it Sankey or
– Sly.
That –
yeah, he told the coaches, he told the ADs a couple of years ago, you need to get on with this because we can't just have three teams in the tournament from a 14 league. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the message was received, and the league is better for it, but it is a harder road to travel. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. We're going to try and run down Coach Vitello here, talk a little college baseball, play a little jam or not a jam with him when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drum.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell, Barrett, Jake cruising along with you. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. And pleased to be joined right now on the G3 Help Me Hotline by the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, Tony Vitello. Coach, what's up? Oh, and try this again. Tony Vitello, are you there? Jake, what have you done? First of all, you call him up, you hang up on him. You hang up on the guy the first time. And now...
Is Jake got nervous here? Anxiety gotten the better of him?
Oh, he looks very anxious. He looks like he's about to fall asleep, actually. Can we get him on the phone? Can we do something?
I mean, Coach's walk-up music is Mother by Danzig.
That is true. You also did that.
Well, let's call him back up. 1 second.
All right. I mean, good grief.
I mean, we got to give him his walk-up music.
You know what I work with here, man?
I'm sorry, Russ. Hopefully I'll be out of quarantine one day.
Don't strain yourself, Miller. Good grief. Fan Run Radio. It's all pumped up. Leaned into it. Felt like we had a good intro, little energy to start it off there. I mean, that was a buzzkill right there. All right, I think we're getting
hard because we care, Jake Miller.
Good?
We are all good.
It's okay, Jake. We still love you.
No, you
Coach, you there?
Yes, indeed.
Hey, there he is. Tony Vitello on the show. What's up, man?
Not much. Just got done with another day's workout. Right now we're in group workouts. Somehow the NCAA says we're not in season, quote-unquote in season right now. So we kind of divide them into groups and get the rust off from Christmas break. I know they put in their work, but it's not going to be the same as it is around the team. And, you know, it's a race. The race is on to be ready for February 18th.
Oh, man, time flies, man. It feels like just yesterday we were raging out in Omaha, and here we are back for more. Tony Vitello joining us this afternoon on the show. So what are we? We're like a month out from the season now?
Yeah. My phone for a date as I talked to the team today. I was talking about timeline, and really it's a little less than a month. So right now it's important to get back in the weight room and get guys, you know, the innings built up or the pitch count built up for pitchers and guys get their legs under them. But at the same time, we've got to have all plays in and everything else ready to go. So it's a short amount of time, and the weather's not ideal, but it's the same for everybody across the country. And like I said, the race is on.
So you guys start out, I see this week, 19th in the D1 poll, which I believe is kind of the gold standard for college baseball. Is that fair, or are you guys getting disrespected here?
No, I think that's more accurate than what I had heard rumors or rumblings of, is that we had a chance to be a top 10 team. And I just don't, with the unknowns at positions like catcher and shortstop, a lot of the familiar faces to our fans that we lost last year, I don't think we're near there. But then I also heard in one poll that we were close to 40th in the country, and I don't think that's fair either. So, you know, I think somewhere around 20 is probably more accurate on paper, but our sport is more difficult than any other to predict preseason. I mean, if you look at football's preseason top 25 this year with teams like Clemson, and there's several other examples, they weren't even close with about 10 or 11 teams in that top 25. And for baseball, the movement is much greater every year, year in and year out. You see a great deal of experience. So, you know, if I had a vote, I'd put it somewhere between 20 and 30. But at the end of the day, when June rolls around, it's going to be different across the country, and we want to be closer to number one.
Well, this speaks to the transformation your program has undergone, right? I know that, you know, it was 4 years of hard work, but last year, all of a sudden, you go from the hunter to the hunted, and it just, I don't know, Tony, it seems like it doesn't fit your personality very well to be up there at the top. You guys want to be at the bottom climbing up, right?
No, you do, but that's a mindset. I hate to get too philosophical, but I think if we're going to let writers, and, you know, basically that's writers asking scouts and some other people what they think, you know, it's certainly, there's a lot of room for error in there. Nothing's been done on a playing field yet. So it's kind of a guessing game there. So if we're going to let dictate how we approach things, it's quite foolish. So for us, they could put us one, they could put us three. We need to kind of maintain the that got us to where we got last year. Quite frankly, made the climb from our first year here to last year. Was a hungry attitude. You got to have a little bit of chip on your shoulder. Our weather is not as warm as Florida, Arizona, or Texas. Our recruiting talent in-state is very strong, but it's not quite what it is in some of the other national contenders every year. So we got to have that extra fight in us, regardless of what's on paper any given year.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon on The Drive. All right, Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had a three-game series starting tomorrow, who are your three starting pitchers?
That is, you're putting me in a really tough spot. You know, we're going to be cautious with guys. You know, Halvey's a little banged up. Seth Halverson, he's the transfer from Missouri. He was a front runner to be one of those guys. Chase Burns is a freshman. His first bullpen wasn't very good when he got back, and he was certainly throwing hard. You could tell he did his work, but it was a little erratic. Obviously, a guy that's in the mix. I would say the one guy that's truly solidified himself at this point is Dolander, the transfer from Georgia Southern, and we open with Georgia Southern. Now, whether he starts or not, I don't know. I think if if you really, you know, put the screws to me right now, I would say Tidwell, Dolander, and Burns. But I think Camden Sewell is going to be kind of a swing man for us that we were able to do a lot of different things with. And again, arms this time of year, cold weather, anyone sore, we're going to be super cautious. Hopefully we got Halby back in the mix. So a jaded answer, but it's for good reason.
No, that's good. We pinned you down, and we'll hold you to that. So Dolander gets the ball for the opener on Friday. We'll see. We'll see. We won't hold you to
that. I don't know about that, but it's certainly you really appreciate as a baseball coach, it's such a sensitive time over Christmas. You want guys to celebrate the holidays and their time off, but it's right around the corner from our season. So if they don't do their work, it's painstaking as a coach. When they do it, you feel so very fortunate, especially when it's one of your more talented guys. And he's one of several. You could just see the work and the intent was there during his time away from Knoxville.
What about the outfield seems strong. Obviously, you got some returners there, some interesting options in left. What about the middle of your infield, replacing two great players from last year, Liam Spence and Max Ferguson? How is that shaking out here early?
Yeah, well, if you'll let me stretch that to third, I mean, first baseman's a very important position, but when we recruit and we say infielders, we mean second, short, and third. And obviously, Fergie and Liam, they were in the facility today working out. It was so good to see them. But Jake Rucker was a big piece of that infield, too. Yep. And I think those three positions can be interchangeable. Trey Lipscomb's probably as good defensively as anyone we have, and maybe even in the conference, really at all three of those spots. So it's nice to know that he's a rock defensively. He most likely will play third. If he does and does not play in the middle, it kind of opens it up for a slew of other guys like Jarrell Ortega, who was two falls ago was our best player. Christian Moore, who's arguably our most talented freshman. Logan Steenstra, who filled in for Liam Spence last year when he was injured and did quite well. Cortland Lawson, who he spent as much time in Knoxville. He's from Virginia, but he stayed here awfully long leading up to Christmas, and then came right back, basically dedicating itself to, hey, I want to win one of these infield spots. So those four guys, and you could even throw in Seth Stevenson, who had a home run yesterday, the fastest guy on our team, they all need to play, and they all can play other positions. So hopefully by May, they make it easy on the coaching staff, and hey, this is our second baseman, and this is our shortstop. But for now, you may see every name I just said play the opening weekend against Georgia Southern somewhere on the infield.
How big a loss was Quentin Eberhardt going to the Cubs, your strength and conditioning coach? You've talked about him a lot on this show. Every time we're giving you a little bit of praise last year, you were quick to mention him and, of course, your other assistants as keys to your success.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're the guys, and I'd like to think, I'm kind of as active as I can be as a head coach, but your assistants are in the trenches with those guys even more. And those are the guys that are truly going to have guys getting better, getting more prepared. And he was a cog in that deal. And I would say it's a big loss, undoubtedly, especially just kind of his personality. I think more than anything, everybody lost a friend. He was, not full-time, but while he's away at work, you lose the guy that was a good personality in the clubhouse, the locker room, and kept it light in the weight room. But I think if this would have happened to us 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been very detrimental, because the strength coach is a key to the culture thing. And right now, our players, when we talked about this whole change at that position, they all feel like our culture is not necessarily set, but it's kind of established for now. And it's up to them, really, more than the coaches, to uphold the standards that are a part of that culture. So he did a great job of establishing that culture, and now it'll be somebody else when we hire someone this coming summer to kind of carry that torch, but also put their own kind of spin on it.
Tony Vitello hanging out with us this afternoon on The Drive. And Coach, we ask you every time you come on about the stadium. How I know they're doing the double decker thing for the porch, right? Is that going to be ready to go right for the season?
Yeah, my normal answer is obviously, hey, we've done a lot of underbelly stuff that the average fan may not get to lay eyes on. And then we talk about, well, in the future, when we get through all this red tape or raise the money or finally put a shovel this, well, finally we got something in the middle of that. And right now, our stadium is just now completing the second deck of those porches, and it is awesome. It's really cool to see that something's been built literally by guys, Max Ferguson, Liam Spence, by their performance has caused that increase in seating out there. And it just adds to the aesthetics of the park with that second deck out there. And, of course, on game day, you'd like to think it's going to add to the environment when you literally double your porches out there. It can be quite a rowdy environment, I'm sure, on game day.
Looking forward to that. Are we going to see – are you guys talking about playing one of your home series in Nashville this year around the orange and white game? I believe the football game is going to be played down there too this year.
Yeah, we were asked, and it's a great idea, and hopefully people realize we're on board with kind of going out on the road like we did to Chattanooga and Memphis and going to fans because they come to us. But that really doesn't work because it's a home series in the SEC. We would lose home field advantage by going over that way. And it's also a deal where we play in Nashville the weekend prior to that spring football game against Vanderbilt. So we would be spending 2 weekends in Nashville and a road game on Tuesday. So it just doesn't flow as much as we like that idea. And, it's kind of interesting. The Sounds Stadium over there, we've tried to very hard to get in there for our first 4 years. And finally, we win, attention-getting amount of games. And now they really want to get us in that park, which is fine. But we've been anxious to get over there. We will get over there sometime soon. But it's not going to be the spring football weekend. So hopefully Vol fans can find a way to juggle that activity. We play at home against Missouri. I'm sure there's other sports that have events going on too, but that spring football game will be exciting because I think it's very obvious Coach Heupel has things going in a good direction.
Now, when you say you wouldn't have your home field advantage there, are you talking about the fact that, you'd be staying in a hotel and not your familiar facilities? Or are you talking about the crowd? Because I think, and I could be wrong here, but I think a lot of Tennessee fans, the way you promote it, would pack that place out. A lot of Tennessee fans in Nashville, I think fans would travel from East Tennessee and spend a night there to go see a couple of games.
No, I think they would. And we actually played Lipscomb there in 2023. And that's a deal. You just said it. Fans might be hesitant if it's only one game. But that'll be our first appearance in that stadium. What I'm getting at is a little bit more of the nuts and bolts. Our guys' sleep schedule, their travel, balancing academics, familiarity, and access to our lounge and the way we do team meals. So a little bit more of kind of the behind-the-scenes things that happen on an everyday itinerary when you talk about a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of. It's really a four-day event, even though you only play on three of those days.
Okay, I got you. Coach, we got some tunes. You ready to play Jam or Not a Jam?
As always.
All right. The game show that we love to play, Jake Miller is on it, spinning the hits, or maybe not. We're about to find out. All right, Jake, what do you got? Oh man!
Yeah,
Young Guns too.
That's what I was gonna say. A little Lou Diamond Phillips action. Yeah. I think that's a definite jam in many, many ways.
Oh man! It looked like Emilio Estevez's career was about to take off. Who'd have thought? Charlie Sheen's still out there with the Tiger Blood, and Emilio. We haven't seen him maybe since that movie. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That's a jam, though, in my book, Bear.
Oh, 100%. That's one that, if you're by yourself in the car, you might just belt it out. Jam.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Unanimous jam right there. All right.
If I'm in the car by myself, I'm going to change the station.
Thank you, Coach. I thought he was about to jam it for a second. I have been assured by Jake Miller that that was a huge hit like 14 years ago.
Is that?
I weep for our future. I mean, that's your generation's idea of rock and roll, Jake?
I wouldn't say rock and roll. That's more pop than it is anything.
I mean, that's the most – you want to go ahead and make it official, Russ?
That's terrible is what that is. I mean, that's
Yeah, I mean that's the worst formula, pseudo pop rock music. There's been nothing put out since the year 2000 that I think has any artistic credibility. Oh, not a jam.
That's Paramore. And it is not a jam. Unanimous. Bear just crapped all over that one. All right. So we're unanimous on both the first two. Jake's so mad right now. Go ahead, Ben. Oh.
Fucking Young Cannibals. Yep. I was jamming that when I was younger. I remember that video. It's not a lot of strength to the video, but I like that song then, and I think it's held up fairly well, so I'll jam that for sure.
Oh, me too. I think it's an iconic video. The guy in like the checkerboard Roland? Suit or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a singer, yeah. Roland. I don't even know if he had a last name, Gus. That's a hell of like a jam. That dropped, I think, my freshman year at UT.
Oh,
wow. Told I am.
I think I was in elementary school. That is another unanimous jam as we go back and forth on jam or not a jam this afternoon. What in the world is this?
My sentiments is that I kind of like the sample or the song they sampled from. It's in Pulp Fiction.
That's what
the mariachi horns.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of that. I'll do that one, but that little spin they put on it is not for me at all. The piece, I think that was.
Yeah, it was.
Not a lot of disagreement today on jam or not a jam. I must concur with Coach. Not a jam.
I'm going to have to go in a different direction from you guys. That's the only song out of their entire catalog that I kind of dig. It's a jam.
Wow.
It's okay, Bear. You don't have to soften it. You're a Black Eyed Peas enthusiast.
I wouldn't go that far. I said it was the only song of theirs that I found that I wouldn't change the station, Russ.
All right. All right. Well, me and Coach are seeing things the same way so far. You got one more, Jake?
Got one more.
I mean, that just reeks of the 80s right there.
I'm very comfortable in my masculinity, and I don't mind saying that that's a jam for me. That was that brings back memories. I liked that one when I was younger, so I'm going to jam that.
This is where you and I part ways, Coach. That is
damn it.
Not my bag. I don't know. It's just it's a little depressing, I must say.
Then – have fun standing there by yourself being depressed. I'm going to be in the car with Coach jamming out to the Cutting Crew.
Exactly.
That was a banger back in the day, wasn't it, Coach?
No question. Hey, we just had a meeting with our players. You got to be able to put a positive spin on anything. And right there, that it's got a little slower beat, but nothing wrong with that one at all right there.
All right. Very good. Well, Coach, we always appreciate you playing tunes with us. Go get them, man. Season is less than a month away. Georgia Southern in Lindsey Nelson Stadium, February 18th, I believe.
Yes, indeed. And I try to answer those questions as truthfully as possible for you guys. But next time we talk, hopefully I got more answers. We got a lot of competition within our team to get ready for competition outside our team. So hopefully it makes us better.
Love it. Love it. Exciting
Fantastic.
Stuff. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Tony Vitello. On the drive, and yeah, Lindsey Nelson Stadium, February 18th, 4:30, first pitch. The Eagles of Georgia Southern coming to town to open up, and we'll have that double-decker. Somebody send me a picture of that thing. I want to see that. The double-decker porch.
Okay, I was going to say, you want to send your picture for
yet.
Double-decker?
No.
Now, I have looked over the Neyland Stadium stuff, and this may come as a shock. You guys hold on your butts, but I kind of like how it looks.
I really like the party deck up. I would like to go and hang out up there. They're going to have a big bar and stuff. I mean, that looks like a happening.
Jumbotron's going to look real nice.
I finally took a step back from, took a step down off the porch.
You got off the porch?
Yeah. I don't. Maybe I don't want lemonade this afternoon.
So this has been like a bizarro,
a little rowdy.
This has been kind of a bizarro edition of The Drive, where we're kind of down on what happened in football today with Nayor, and maybe even basketball a little bit. And but Bear's all up about the facility, usually something that he's not excited about.
Something Christopher Gabriel mentioned that I would like to see. You know, they have the metal going all the way out to the sidelines to increase volume. Could you imagine if we did that?
Do what now?
So
there's things they do. It's at Husky Stadium is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, and they do it at whatever.
Oh, you're talking about the roof?
Yeah. Seattle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, they had I read a bunch of – I'm just – because I'm interested in like, sound and all that, and but they had – sound engineers come in. I mean, it was designed to intensify the volume down on the field.
They should do the roof that's on the north end zone. They should put that on the south end zone too.
You would have to get rid of that Jumbotron and take out some seats as well.
Well, you could just do what they're doing in the north. Make a south end zone party deck.
Why don't we just make a dome?
Retractable roof. Hey, it's other people's money. I don't mind spending it. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Is your company a... Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Excellent appearance by Tony Vitello today on the show. Bear, what did you learn?
That, he just confirmed what I suspected with all the talent that he went out and him and his staff went out and busted ass and recruited, and that they're having a heated competition over there for who's going to get the starting spots and what our lineup's going to look like. And it's the same type of atmosphere that was around our football team in the 90s that enabled us to win the national championship. National championships are won in practice.
Talk about practice.
Practice.
Not a game.
I'm fired up about it. 29 days, 28 tomorrow. I can't wait.
I thought it was interesting his response to the, you know, they were talking about moving the Auburn series
right
to Nashville and making that like a big orange weekend. I get what he's saying about that just, you have an advantage when you're playing at home, you're sleeping in your own bed and you have your home clubhouse and everything. I just think it would have been really cool. Like, and it would have been a great,
really cool, but
would have been a great recruiting tool too. I mean, Tennessee fans would have packed that place out, right? That would have been, I don't know how many seats the Sound Stadium has, but that would have been a big deal for the Mid-State.
Yeah. But coach is, I mean, he's old school. That's why you saw when with all the stadium stuff, you know, the question was posed, I think to him, I'm pretty sure we asked him about it. You know, would you be interested in sharing a stadium with the minor league team? And he's always been very adamant about wanting an on-campus stadium. He likes playing at home, having the home field advantage. And I mean, that doesn't really surprise me that he would rather play at home.
No, and then Lindsay, he mentioned that they've been trying to get out there for years, and it's been and then they finally get good, and it's like, okay, yeah, we want you guys to come play. It's like, okay, that's cool, but
yeah, coach doesn't roll like that.
No.
Being told need to lay off Jake. Jake, were your feelings hurt when what happened there the first time? You hung up on him first.
I hung up on him first by accident. I called him back. Everything was all good. And then his phone had a bad connection. He apologized once I called him back.
He apologized to you?
Yeah.
Well, did you apologize to him?
Yeah.
He's just doing that probably to make you feel better.
You better.
Who's telling you we're being too hard on Jake? Is it from the same source who always tells us we're being too hard on the newer guys?
I'm just getting some feedback here. It doesn't matter. It's all feedback is taken. Some of it is thrown out, however, and I'm choosing to discard the be nice to Jake feedback. Let's go to the phones. Jamie is up next. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
So you've got Bruce Pearl behind.
Oh, God. Behind who?
Rick
on
Barnes.
Who we think historically, like career achievements?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Russ kind of
put him behind.
It.
Yeah, I do put him behind Rick Barnes, man.
Even though he pants Rick Barnes every time they play.
Rick Barnes, we're talking about their career achievements, Jamie.
So, speaking of careers, it's taken Bruce Pearl less attempts at the tournament to get to the Final Four than it did Rick Barnes. He's got a better winning percentage and a better tournament winning percentage. What the hell are y'all talking about?
I think it's close, and I think it on his current career path, he probably ends up ahead of Barnes. I do. I'm differentiating it between body of work versus who I'd hire now. If it's who I hire now, Bruce Pearl's number one, and Barnes is fifth at best on my list. But I think you have to look at the entire body of work. But if it's just who I'm hiring now, I go Pearl number one, Oates, Musselman, Calipari, and then maybe Barnes if you just don't care about Will Wade. I mean, Will Wade's probably a better basketball coach right now. No probably about it. But obviously there's a lot of baggage there.
Well, I thought I about spit my drink out when your first guest said watching Rick Barnes basketball is like Jeremy Pruitt football.
He's not comparing Barnes to Pruitt, okay? Like, I know you want that to be what he's saying. He's just saying the offense is similar this year, which I could see where he's going. I don't take it that far. I think it's a little bit better than that. I mean, we're, what, top 50 or so in KenPom adjusted offensive? Like, his offenses, Pruitt's offenses were, did he ever crack the top 90 nationally?
Speaking of offense, didn't Tennessee break their all-time season record this previous season in scoring? They were talking about that with about three games to go, talking about how close we were. I think we needed to average 40 points a game the last three games, and we were well over that. So I'm just curious if anybody want to confirm that. I think last year was the biggest offensive scoring output of any other team in the UT history. So hats off to Hopple there. But speaking of Hopple, guys, they may be sabotaging that poor guy over there, dude. He's not getting any help. This whole NCAA issue, the lack of NIL ingenuity, and the NCAA rolling it out the way they did, they couldn't have done a worse job of, it's like y'all were talking about. It's Texas and everybody else. I mean, I don't know who else has, got the money who cares that much about football as they do down there. I don't know. It's like Bear said, it's going to make it tough whenever, every time you turn your football team on, you've got different players that were just on some other SEC team the year before. What do you think?
I mean, I think that we're in just a weird spot right now with college athletics, where I think that they're trying to figure this stuff out, and there aren't many rules right now. I don't know that he's being sabotaged, but I think that there is a directive coming down probably from even above Danny White's office of, hey, while we go through this mess with the NCAA, you guys better be minding your P's and Q's. And it doesn't mean you can't do – your players can't have NIL deals, but – you better not be the one pushing the envelope out there. And everybody else is pushing the envelope. Some people are just ripping the envelope open. And, and Tennessee, I don't think, is doing that right now.
I equate that to crippling them, though, Russ. At the end of the day, you're going to have comparable talent to win, even with our dynamic offense. You're going to, if you're going to compete with the big boys, you're going to have that talent.
Well, they got to get the NCAA stuff behind them, man, and they're trying to expedite that, obviously, but they're just dragging their feet. And I'm talking about the NCAA, not Tennessee. And if that's their policy, I get it, but we could be waiting a while. And how much further are you going to get left behind while you wait?
It's Tennessee. If anything else, it's like, you know, they have no power or leverage or leadership when it comes to dealing with the NCAA, especially when the NCAA is a lame duck institution. You'd think by now that Tennessee would have, you know, tried to strong arm him in some way rather than just sitting back waiting to be, you know,
well, it's easy.
Hey,
it's easy for us to say we're not the ones with big six-figure year jobs that are on the line that where we get fired and are disgraced professionally if, you know, it goes south on us. So I get what you're saying. I don't disagree, but I'm also not surprised that that's not the direction they're going. And I would imagine that a lot of other schools would probably act likewise in a similar situation. We just screwed up because we hired terrible athletics directors and terrible football coaches, one on top of the other for the past dozen years or so. And hopefully that's behind us now, but you're in a bad situation until you get this mess resolved.
I agree 100%. It just wouldn't it be so Tennessee to finally, after this chain of knuckleheads of coaches, that we've got one that actually knows how to, draw up things that wins football games. To leave him, you know, hung out to dry, because at the end of the day, he's going to have to win games here, to justify his salary. And he's a six-figure guy that might be the one that the hostage that they decide to shoot, which would really irritate me because we do not have a good track record of hiring coaches. So I've got no confidence. I want to see Heupel succeed. And it just seems like this might be the one where we finally have a good coach and don't have the support around him. Whether that be Tennessee's fault or the NCAA, at the end of the day, it's going to have to be Heupel that finds a way to win. And I want to see it happen. I know at the end of the day, it's going to take talent. And if you're starting already behind with the NCAA and our NIL guys aren't the most, you know, genius guys in the industry, we may just be, you know, trying to roll a rock up a hill, and I hate to see that for a guy who finally seems like he's competent enough to do this.
Well, the good news is I think he had an idea of what he was getting into, and he seems pretty patient, and he seems pretty loyal, and we'll see what happens. But today hurts.
That's all you can say.
Yeah, I mean, today hurts, and it doesn't seem like this is on the verge of getting solved anytime soon, and it's frustrating for fans who've been waiting for 10, 12 years to be told, just wait a little more, wait a little bit more. And I get
it. Who's the player y'all were talking about that went to USC and then Texas? He's kind of got gray clouds.
Brew McCoy is the young man's name.
Well, I heard Bear gave his opinion, and I definitely respect it as far as staying away from the guy. But you better get him. You better get anybody who will come here, figure out a way to sell it to whoever that, you know, it was some crazy ex-girlfriend, and I don't care.
I can't go there with you, brother. You got to
be
really careful.
Bear, believe me, I get it. Maybe 10 years ago I would have said stay away from him, but I really want to see Heupel succeed here. For our sake as much as his. And I just think at this point, when you're striking out, you better get what you can and just deal with the bad publicity for the week.
No charges were ever filed.
I'd rather him just count on them. I trust them to go out and find the kid that can make plays that doesn't have all those question marks, just me personally, because the last thing this program needs right now is to bring, you know, a high-risk kid in, and you know, on the off chance, God forbid, something did happen.
Well, if something happens, you throw him off the team like you did Saitel or Salter, and we certainly don't have a problem with Jeremy Banks after the video we all saw. So,
there's different levels of risk. I mean, Caden Salter's a young, immature young man who absolutely, apparently, could not stop smoking marijuana. The issues that this kid's had is he's got a, to me, he's a lot bigger risk.
Well, that's fair, man. I trust you. I mean, I got respect for your opinion, but mark me down as somebody that take all comers. And at the end of the day, I don't think Salter's problem was smoking weed. I think his problem was he couldn't keep from getting caught smoking weed. You know what I mean? Hey, y'all hang in there.
Touche, Jamie. Touche.
Jamie, appreciate the phone call. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. We'll go open lines the rest of the way on Fan Run Radio.